This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Joy wishes to advise the following program, Hide and Seek, is a show intended for an adult audience. Generally, our discussions are of a sexual nature and may contain coarse language and references to drugs.
Hide and Seek.
Sit back and enjoy the ride. And enjoy the ride. And enjoy the ride. And enjoy. 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 And enjoy the ride.
You're with Dean Beck and James Finlay here on Hide and Seek. And tonight in Expose After Midnight, it is my great pleasure to welcome a man who has been, for the last 15 years, caretaker of the Collingwood's Peel Hotel. It's been a place of comfort, safety and exploration for many of Melbourne's gay men. And it is my great pleasure to welcome the jovial Scotsman licensee holder of the Peel Hotel to Hide and Seek.
Oh, thank you, Dean. That was too kind.
It goes downhill from here, Tom.
Oh, and the intro continues.
Now, Tom is a man who is both loved and loathed. He always has an opinion on everything. He's never short of a word. And, as I said earlier, does not mind ruffling a few feathers along the way. Tom McFeely, it's my great pleasure to have you in here to celebrate 21 years of the Peel Hotel.
Well, it's kind of an honour to meet you, actually.
Oh, well, I thought we'd met before. Are you sure we haven't met before?
I think I've talked to you in a building.
You might have thrown him out.
Sorry, I'm talking about people, yeah. Perhaps we haven't.
Oh, maybe.
I'll be extremely polite.
Jesus.
Tom, I met you when you first came to Melbourne. If you may recall...
Yes, I know, you poor wee young thing.
John Jennings had a pub in St Kilda, and I was working for him at the time, and you were a regular at that bar.
Yes, I enjoyed that bar. I think with John Dunn down there, it was just lovely. And yet you hadn't even started shaving, I don't think, Dean.
I don't think I had.
Well, certainly not in your face.
No, indeed. Tom, you were you at the Exchange for a while?
Yes, I was at the Exchange for exactly 1 year.
Right.
Before being schmoozed over to Northside.
Oh.
Yeah.
And you haven't looked back?
No, I've looked back several times. No, it's been a very enjoyable and roller coaster over the last 15 years or so.
And we'll get you to take us through some of that journey.
A bit later on.
Along the way. Tom, you were a couple of years back named in the same 25 most influential gay men, or gays and lesbians, in the country.
Well, that was quite an honour. Although I was a bit disappointed when I got up to Sydney, because I didn't realise there was 24 other people, to be honest with you.
Oh, you just thought it was the Tom McFeely show.
Yeah, well, basically.
And I might add, amongst them were the likes of Bob Brown. There was
Justice Michael Kirby.
Yeah, Michael Kirby, David Marr. Yeah, so there's a few big names there. Penny Wong. What's she gone on to do?
Who knows? I think she's in politics.
Yes, no, in all sincerity, I was very, very honoured when that happened, very humbled.
Sure.
And couldn't quite work out why it was actually there, and especially when I realised that it was only a person from this industry and effectively from the scene. I didn't realise that until I was up in Sydney, and I felt even more, you know, I don't know how humble one can get, but yeah, I felt...
Because all of the rest of them are sort of like... community people, in the sense that they work in a community environment or voluntary or whatever, and yours is in a business environment, but you're still considered very influential, clearly.
Well, I think yes, because that also coincided with what we were doing at VCAT, etc.
Yeah, that made national headlines.
In fact, it made world news, including BBC interviews.
Yeah, lots of that, and. Interviews, you know, sort of around Europe and in France and what have you. Now, I'm not particularly bilingual, to say the least.
And what we're talking about is the Peel's Hotel, which won rights to exclude heterosexuals to their bar. It was a Equal Opportunity Commission of Victoria finding that Tom fought long and hard to obtain. Tell us a little bit about that process, because it was quite arduous.
Not quite as arduous as what you're trying to make out, so take that as a compliment, thank you, Dean. But I am quite proud of the fact that, that to this day, the Peel remains the only legal venue in the whole world that is effectively gay. I realise there's men-only bars around the world, but that's men-only bars.
Right.
It's not homosexual men bars.
Right.
So to this day, we are the only venue in the world that can legally discriminate against heterosexuals.
Right.
So what did you have to do at the time? Did you have to kind of make the heteros make out with other guys to get them in, or...?
No.
Which, you know, that's okay. They're willing.
Exactly, yes. Especially with their video surveillance.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people, you know, got confused at the time, and even to this day.
Yeah.
Some people thought, you've barred straight, you've barred women, you've barred... Well, no, we didn't. We still, you know, welcome everyone. But what I sought at the time was legal recognition that would allow us to determine who came in without the fear of being sued, effect.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do get annoyed when they go to a venue and they're told, oh, members only, or whatever excuse is perhaps given. And I just didn't want to, cause any dramas at the door or cause any more confusion. And I believe there's a very strong stance there for having a place that's legally safe and secure for, in particular, gay men. Those people who aren't gay men and those people who are guests, and I call them guests, they'll always be welcome, but I want them to respect the venue they've came to.
Mm. And on that basis, yeah. Now, there have been other rulings allowing the exclusion of men in venues recently. There was one. But what you're saying the difference is here is the sexuality
Right. And it came to a head when we've had various Bucks nights in the past that came to the Peel.
Ah.
And now, some Bucks nights and even some groups of straight guys, they would come there not with the motivation of cause of disruption. They would come there with the thought of having fun.
Yeah.
But my experience then began to experience that out of a particular size of group, at a certain point in the evening, there's going to be one that might start to get annoyed of the location of where they've chosen to be. There's going to be one that, if he feels someone in the toilets, looks at them the wrong way.
Mm,
okay. And in this particular group, we had a group that came along one night. We refused them entry. They were perfectly sober, perfectly well-behaved at the door, and they just wanted to know flat out, is it because we're straight?
Mm.
And to avoid basically an altercation, I made a judgment call of, yes, I'll tell the guy the truth.
Yeah.
Although it would open us up for possible lawsuits, I told him the truth. And I said, yes, frankly, I explained my situation. I said, look, there's about 20 of you. My experience shows that at least one of you, in a few hours' time, will get annoyed where they are. He shook my hand, walked off. And that's what made me start to think about it, that... You know, he just wanted the truth, but at the same time, I've done something illegal. I knocked him back because he was straight.
So they were okay about it.
He was more than happy.
Yeah, yeah.
More than happy.
But he got it, and not all of them get it.
Exactly.
Mm. Yeah.
Exactly. And, there's still confusion to this day about it. But I didn't realise at the time, by doing what I'd done, the worldwide ramifications of it.
Because you were... trawled through all sorts of libertarian, socialist papers, all sorts of human rights implications came out of that. And they went in hard and they attacked you personally on that basis.
Yes, they did. Mm. And most of the attacks actually came from the gay community, not so much the straight community, to be honest with you.
Really? Right.
They felt I was doing the gay community a disservice by, in their eyes, alienating us just a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the straight community, I think, got it eventually, once I was given an opportunity to explain. And as I say, it wasn't until you know, I was asked to do the overseas interviews. It wasn't until I was asked to articulate it to the Canadian Parliament, or people within the Canadian Parliament, because they were looking at changing their legislation at the time. And there's a professor, I can't remember his name right now, at Melbourne Uni, who, you know, it's part of his lectures to this day about, you know, as a case study. And I'm quite proud that it, you know, it caused controversy, but it brought it highlighted the issue. And I mean, sexuality aside, I think like-minded people should be able to socialise with other like-minded people.
We're with Tom McFeely. He is the proprietor of the Peel Hotel. It's celebrating 21 years. We're going to take a little break and we'll be back very shortly. You're with Dean Beck and James Finlay. This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
Hide and Seek.
You're back with Dean Beck and James Finlay. We're talking to Tom McFeely, who's the proprietor of the Peel Hotel, has been for 15 years or so, and the Peel last weekend just gone celebrated 21 years. Tom, you're clearly not Australian. I believe you're from Glasgow, is that right?
Yes, that's correct. Yes,
I've got about 22 years ago, is that right? No. Tell us about your childhood growing up.
I don't remember most of it.
Very good. And when did you come here to Australia?
About 20 years ago. Yeah, almost 20 years ago.
You didn't come to Melbourne, though?
Yes.
Did you?
Yep. The first day I got off the plane...
Why did I think you were in Perth for a while?
No.
I made that up. Okay. No.
That was one of my other personalities.
Right. Ah.
No. Morag or... No, that's Tiffany, isn't it? And her girlfriend, Morag. We'll get to them later. Mm. So, your time here in Melbourne, you worked for a university, is that right?
Yeah, I arrived in Melbourne, realised Melbourne was more than what I had seen in Neighbours, the TV show, which, you know, I just couldn't believe it, because the only impression I ever had of Australia was what I saw in Neighbours. And I arrived in Melbourne, got off the plane, was driven around the CBD, driven into St Kilda, driven over the Westgate Bridge to get a sort of, you know, skyline.
Yep.
And I thought, oh my God, you know, this is like a city.
How did you picture it in your head?
Like Neighbours.
Just honestly, everywhere.
Just like Neighbours.
Wow.
And at that time, and everyone in Britain
like a
felt the same
a
way.
Suburb.
Yeah.
Right.
Just a larger version of what I'd seen in Ramsay Street.
Sure.
So it was a very welcoming surprise to actually see what Melbourne was like. And, you know, I knew from that moment, about, yeah, this is it, you know.
This is the new home.
Absolutely. I knew from that moment.
And you're quite passionate about the city. I mean, you are in the sense that you're vocal. You know, if you didn't give a shit, you wouldn't speak up, I guess.
Well, yeah. I mean, I feel, as I say, that feeling I had driving around the very first day I got here and loving it and seeing what it had to offer and... You know, I think that's what's helped made me a little bit vocal and a little bit passionate about protecting my view of what Australia perhaps is. And I don't know if it's because I'm an immigrant and I'm thinking, right, you know, guys, you've got something really good here.
You don't get it.
Don't stuff it up.
Yeah.
I think that's perhaps motivating me to be a little bit more articulate in the press about various different subjects, you know, outside of gay scene.
You're never too far away from Talkback Radio and quite often phone up various shows.
Well, if truth be told, I am a bit more far away now because I think I'm perhaps persona non grata more recently because I don't know.
They know who you are. You might come up on a block list now.
I think, yeah, it's been a while since I've been on. and I think that, yeah, that they're aware of my views. You know, and so I tend not to phone up as often as I used to. You know,
you are a political animal, and you've run for the City of Yarra council elections. Tell us about that experience.
It was a wonderful experience. I mean, I didn't set out to actually run it. It wasn't a long term plan of mine, but I felt myself getting more frustrated with some issues, be it traffic flow, be it street cleaning, be it whatever. And I went along on the day. I actually gave Dale from Rates, Dale Smedley, a lift
to
Fitzroy Town Hall, where he was going to fill in the form for his nomination to stand as a councillor. Uh-huh. So I gave him a lift, And I found myself as I was standing next to him, you know, thinking, oh, you know what? Give me your form too. So although you perhaps shouldn't go into the sort of political arena with a view of not wanting to win, but that was, I didn't want to win. You know, I was too busy with the business. But I felt frustrated that if this sends a signal, you know, because a few councillors at that point who remain nameless, you know, had indicated to deal, nope, you know, people in small business don't understand how councils work, etc., etc., can't do it. So I thought, I'll put my name down if it does nothing more than annoy them. And as it turned out, well, yes, it did.
Sure did.
And I was and I was then lectured, because I actually articulated in my flyer some of my thoughts and policies, mm-hmm. and I was sort of told off by people who've been doing it a long time. They went, you don't actually write down what you want to do. You write something vague.
And I went, with open ends.
Yeah. And I said, why don't you write down what you believe in? They went, oh, Tom, you have it. That's just what you don't do. So that actually got me more annoyed. So I'd done that, and as I say, and I feel, you know, I'm now looking at different avenues in that arena. But
you are quoted as saying that you're interested in state politics.
Yes, yeah, I'm seriously looking at the next state election, and
as an independent, or
which is only 12 months away or less.
Probably not as an independent. It depends on which particular seat. So
You're being lined up for a particular seat. Potentially,
I wouldn't quite use that phrase. What about
considered?
I'm when it comes to my actual politics, I'm very right wing in some issues and very left wing in some others. But since the council election, fair enough, and since the VCAT issue, and I suppose it was put to me since Be Good TV that there's a few people in various organisations or parties or whatever who feel I could perhaps make a contribution. And it was suggested to me, and I've had a long think about it, and it's a path that I'm considering at the moment.
You're also quoted as saying that you accredit your good friend Dale, who formerly had DTs, giving you the impetus to focus on community. And to because I can remember having a conversation with you, trying to get you on board to look after and sponsor Pride March in its infancy. And Tom flatly refused, frankly.
You can remember that, but you can't remember where you were last weekend.
And
that's great.
And told me where to go in no uncertain terms and to take my pinko left-wing commie crap out of here. Yes. And 12 months later, he's on board and handing over the cash. It was quite fascinating.
As you see, I've got a wide range of views depending on the subject.
Or Mr. Smedley is quite convincing.
No, I certainly do feel, you know, this is with the peer, that you have to have a social conscience if you're involved in, I think, gay business.
Two aren't exclusive, are they?
No, they're not. You know, and I wish, I mean, my you know, my accountant wishes I was perhaps more business focused, and wishes that I would run the business the same way I used to run it prior to owning it. But you know, it's just my belief that you can't quite do that. You can't.
No.
You know, and that's been a sort of
or you
financial...
do at the cost of the business.
Yes, and that's the thing. And I just can't, in all good conscience, run the Peel the way I'd run everything else business in my life. You know, I can't.
And
you know.
And look, at the end of the day, it's an everybody wins scenario when you approach it from that level.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when Dale was you know, even before the Pride thing. You know, if you run the place the way you are running it, the way you want it run, and if you happen to make a buck, then good. And I think that sort of philosophy, although I've been told off by other operators or business people that nope, business is business, don't be stupid. I don't disagree with them, but it's just not my philosophy. You know?
You manage the Peel first, and then you acquired license or lease. So, is it during that changeover that you had the issues in price negotiations and that sort of stuff, where you were fighting in the papers about renegotiating leases and, on the freehold?
No, that sort of happened.
That was further down the track, was it?
Yeah, I took over the appeal on my own right about 10 years ago, 99 or so, with, you know, I'm a great believer in handshakes and everything else, but it wasn't until one of the owners of the company died that certain things, you know, came to light, and, you know, and certain understandings perhaps weren't there, and that was about 2003. And so there's a bit of drama there in relation to being able to hold on to it and move on.
So by 2004 that was all sorted out?
No, not necessarily.
Right, okay.
Not necessarily. There was a bit of drama there. I mean, my agreement was running out in June 2008, fair enough, which is only about a year and a half ago.
Yes.
And so the closer that became, of course, the more I was getting a wee bit worried.
Mm.
And any agreement couldn't be reached. And I tried, you know, I don't know, I tried to buy the building and do whatever.
Because it was all up for sale at one stage.
Everything,
wasn't it?
And
when we say everything, we mean the likes of Club 80, which was linked to the freehold of the Laird and the freehold of the Peel.
Yeah. It was quite a wave of different companies, but basically when one partner died, everything was
thrown up
for grabs. And unfortunately, I wasn't quite given up. I wanted to buy the building, and Dale, God bless him, DT, he was assisting me in that, but the negotiations didn't quite get there. And it got into April 2008, you know, two or three months before my agreement running out.
That's crunch time.
That was going to happen. And then you know, I heard that someone had bought it, bought the building.
You were told that?
Well, actually, I wasn't told that. That was the thing. This chap came in one evening, just said, "Hi, you know, start paying the rent to me," type thing. And I never heard of it. Yeah, it was very odd. It was an awkward sort of situation. But as my time was gradually running out, I had to sort of make a call to do an agreement that
gave you some security, I guess.
Well, yeah, I've now got a 25-year lease. You know, the details of it, you know, we could sit and debate all night, but at least I had to make the call, just be there, because there's nothing. It was an awful period to think that a year's time, 10 months, 3 months, 4 months, and then you know, down to a couple of months. It was a bad time for everyone.
We're talking to Tom McFeely. He is the proprietor of the Peel Hotel. He missed out on his own 21st birthday. Buddy's here joining us here on Hide and Seek for the 21st birthday of the Peel Hotel in Collingwood. You're with Dean and James on Hide and Seek. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
And enjoy the ride.
You're back with Dean Beck and James Findlay on Hide and Seek and in Exposé After Midnight. Tom McFeely has joined us. Tom, your partner in business and in life is Darren. Again, you made headlines back in June of 2006 when you and Darren got married.
Yes, I mean, Darren's a bit of a home buddy, and God bless him, and it doesn't have much involvement in the Peel, to be honest. But when the British government came up with the legislation that recognised gay couples, I took the opportunity to go along to the British consulate and be recognised. But however, I find it quite ironic in a sense that the part of my motivation for moving to Australia was the way Britain, I perceived, was slightly homophobic. That's all in my head. Okay. I came to Australia to sort of
spread your wings
a wee bit and sort of change my headspace. Mm. And I find it quite ironic that the country I came to still hasn't done much legislatively, but the country I left because I felt I couldn't stay there. Being gay was the one that actually gave me legal recognition.
Yes,
and you know, we were the first in Australia to use the British rules at a consulate.
Yes,
the 13th in the world, and Dan keeps saying, "Well, we're unlucky for some time, somewhere 30th in the world." And yes, I was even doing that. You know, that had the Scottish press, which I can't understand why, and my mother can't quite understand why to this day, but. Yeah, that's another little sort of story, in a sense.
And even as recently as last week, we've not seen Well, we've seen the marriage issue brought up again and overturned and not recommended by the inquiry. I'm wondering where this country is going on. Like, we keep hearing that more and more people say, yeah, it's fine, and yet our legislators seem to be going backwards.
Well, I mean, I realise that I'm only in your studio for a short time tonight, so I could go on about this particular subject for quite some time. Look, you know, my personal belief is government should recognise relationships, and I think most in the community, all communities, want the same thing. I think, however, by adding into the melting pot the word marriage and also the issue of perhaps IVF and adoption, et cetera, that might be just a bit too much for some. And, you know, it's my personal belief that government should recognise relationships. And the word marriage, that's got religious overtones and connotations, and that should perhaps be not included in the terminology or vocabulary at this stage. But everyone I know in the straight community, wants us to be recognised and can't understand why we're not. But by pushing the marriage word and some other issues into it, well, that's just a bit uncomfortable.
In fact, when James and I were working last weekend, just gone, on the Higgins by-election, people were coming up saying, who of you, meaning the people handing out the staff, is for gay rights, is for gay marriage? And that was a major issue for a lot of people.
Yep. I mean, I hate the terminology gay rights. I don't believe in gay rights. I believe in equal rights.
Correct.
And you know, I feel there's a certain element within the gay community that quite enjoys gay rights and adoption, et cetera, and they, the whatever agenda they have, good luck to them. But gay rights, I don't want gay rights. I just want equal rights.
And this is coming from a man who is prepared to exclude heterosexuals from his hotel.
Yes, but as I said to some people just at the weekend, the second that the majority of heterosexual venues, if I can walk into any... And I said this at the time, if I can walk into any heterosexual venue, and I used Young and Jackson as an example at the time, if I can walk in there with Darren, sit down, hold his hand, and act in a way that the heterosexuals in the bar are acting, I'm not talking about ripping his gear off.
No, but flirtatious hold his hand and whatever.
And be made to feel welcome, let alone get beaten up.
Hmm.
I wish nothing more than places like the Peel shouldn't have to exist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy I do, but we shouldn't have to provide a safe space. So, but until such times as heterosexual places are more welcoming, not just to, they don't mind if we come in.
No, as long as we behave accordingly, isn't it?
Then
it's not about tolerance, because that means there's something to tolerate.
Yeah. But I also go back, if you take sexuality away from this debate, I also think, that there's bars in the city that are generally frequented by lawyers and barristers. There's some that are frequented by plumbers
journalists
and electricians, etc.,
yeah,
etc. Yep,
sure.
Now, like many people, we're never going to see a bar in a city that's where you've got 100 plumbers over there and 100 barristers over there and so on, and 100 secretaries in that other corner. That's just not human nature. So I feel quite strongly that bars should be able to operate to cater for like-minded people, and regardless of whether it's sexuality or whether it's ideology or whether it's what you wear.
The Peel has changed quite a bit in the last 10, 12 years. It's transformed and continues to transform. Take us through some of that.
Well, when I was given opportunity to have the Peel in my own right back in 99, 2000... I was a bit eager because the Peel hadn't been changed since it opened, effectively.
Wow.
And
its layout was pretty much the same.
You know, I was a bit eager to basically piss in the post and say, I'll make a change. And in the back area of the Peel, which used to be the traditional beer garden, I thought, I'll make a change there. And over the years, I've tried various things. And not having, a long-term... lease that I long to owning the building, I tended to have knee-jerk reactions, and I'll admit that. And I experimented with different things at the Peel.
Neither did you have any longevity, though.
Exactly. I had to always believe that, and I always mentally had to believe that, well, you know, I'll die out the place type thing without being morbid. I also, you know, because you listen to those around you, you listen to the customers, you listen to the management team, you know, it's not all about Tom. You know, it's about, you know, things do have to evolve. And when you experiment, you learn. And the Peel has never been the place to be. It's never been trendy. It's never been, and I'm glad of that. We have a certain demographic, certain clientele. And, you know, it's taken me a little while to actually understand and realise what that is. And from a very long-term point of view, you know, those are the chaps that I have to cater for. Mm. You know,
the Peel was at its best when it was the ultimate freak show. And I mean that in the most loving of ways.
Yep.
Yeah, you could walk in there and you would have one of everything.
Yes.
And,
wow.
And it was it was a bizarre conglomeration yep. of all of the freaks that came together in a safe place yep. and free to be themselves.
Well, when I arrived in Melbourne, you know, I went to the Peel as a customer, of course, and you're correct. You know, you look at one end of the bar, there'd be professor, the other end, someone unemployed. In the middle, there'd be a drag queen who'd just, you know, been performing all night and she'd fallen off the bar stool. Further along, there'd be some heterosexuals. Because at that time, the Peel had the only license in Melbourne.
Yes.
And to this day, the Peel has the best license almost in Victoria. We've got a better license than Crown Casino. Now, we don't utilise it. And we don't abuse it, but effectively the Peel was a late night haven for, you say freaks, I say gorgeous customers who like to spend their money.
Yeah, and I'd say freaks in a very embracing, friendly kind of way. I'm not judging them for that. I'm celebrating their individualness.
And yes, I quite agree with you. I mean, I was articulate to some people on Saturday night at a birthday who hadn't been to the Peel in a while, and they said, you know, you're evolving. And yes, and I love the fact we make everyone feel welcome. And, you know, different venues may have different business strategies, et cetera, who they let in. But I love our policy. I like the fact that particularly those more disenfranchised people within the community and those people who frankly, wouldn't be welcome
anywhere else, very true,
that we can give them a home. Albeit sometimes it'll be a bit hard to manage.
You know? We're talking to Tom Philly, the proprietor of the Peel Hotel, celebrating 21 years this weekend just gone. We'll be back with more of Tom in just a moment. You're with Dean and James. This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
Hide and Seek. I think
you're back with Dean Beck, James Finlay and Tom McFeely from the Peel Hotel. Tom, you recently renovated what was originally the back courtyard concrete. I remember it with picnic tables at the back. Then turned into this amazing sunken dance floor place sort of thing. And it's now back to being an outdoorsy type of area again.
Yes, well, that seems to be what's the public won't. I've experimented, but I now feel finally I've got that area right. Yes.
Let's say we've got that area right. The front area seemed to go from being at one point reasonably open and free flowing to being quite chopped up and angular and small. Was that to section things off? Or was it just again part of the development?
No, I done that. I went through a phase again. It was not long after I took over in my own right that I thought, right, we've got a great license. I utilise the building. My rent particularly high, and I thought, well, why not try and get, you know, most people who at that time were coming to the Peel were coming, you know, sort of midnight onwards.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, we've got this building. Why not try and get an early trade? And I tried to do a pub feel in the front early on, but wasn't one of my better ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And I now feel, you know, life's you go through, you have to experiment, and and get the equation right. It could take you some time.
What about upstairs? Now, I've heard birdies talking that there's developments happening upstairs.
Yes, that's correct. Well, again, utilisation of the building. But I also feel that the Gacy in itself over the years has not been catered to the degree it perhaps should have. And previous operators in the scene, God bless them, you know, I'm whatever age I am now, but there's in the past, you know, you've basically a nightclub environment or a drag queen type pub.
Yeah.
I feel, you know, not everyone late at night wants loud music and a dance floor to enjoy a beverage. That's in the process of being redeveloped as a venue in its own right.
Right.
I was hoping it would be open by now, but, you know, I then rethought downstairs. Yeah, I then thought, do downstairs. And I'm looking forward to that. It's a continual evolution.
You know? So is there maybe in the next 4 or 6 months or...?
Look, I won't.
No idea.
I would like to think, you know, at the absolute latest, you know, next summer. But yeah. There's different factors that come into it. And, could be the next few months. But
in April of 2007, you were again raked over the coals throughout the press for a gay Anzac campaign that probably with a little more forethought, I don't know, you speak for yourself, but may not have gone to press.
What was the campaign?
It was a campaign which had an advertisement of one of the guards, was it not, at the shrine.
Yep.
It was then cut and pasted to Tom's
story there is traditionally for many years, Anzac time, we would advertise using a, you know, semi-naked soldier or something.
Sure.
That was
camo gear.
And Darren, my partner, who sort of does our advertising, he thought that the event itself should have had a little bit more respect.
Mm-hmm.
And so he took our advertising away from the let's not make it about sex. And he went on internet and he came across this image, which he actually found from Mexico. And so he got this image from a Mexican photographer's portfolio that he used and didn't realise it was actually Melbourne. He just found it an Australian person.
Sure.
And so we got this image and...
Went on the back of the local paper and then it was on.
Yes, it was. And we didn't do it deliberately. I mean, we actually thought that, you know, I agree with Dan's concept that let's give more respect to diggers and know it. Because every venue, and ourselves included, you know, we were showing up to that point previous years half naked American soldiers
in camo hot pants.
Yeah, yeah. And Darren said to me, he said, "Why, you know, we're doing Anzac, but we've got these American GI Joes topless." And so he put an Australian person there. It's, you know, we didn't quite realise it was a shrine at that time. The shit hit the fan. Anzac House, however, the person there he was more than fine with it. It was the media that beat it up. I apologised and said, you know, mea culpa, and the media couldn't take it anywhere else after that.
Yeah. Tom McFeely, what does the Peel Hotel mean for you from this day forth?
Look, it's many things to all men. To me, I realise, you know, some people would take this a bit more. To me, it's basically a licensed community centre. I know sometimes...
A halfway house.
Well, yeah, it depends where you're heading. but to me, it isn't a venue in the context of the word that other people would look at, you know, another 2,000 venues in Melbourne. To me, it's a building that encompasses many things to different men, and it has a social conscience. And again, if we happen to make a buck, then good. You know, without going into the finances too much, I'm happy to report that maybe by this year I might actually make one.
Good for you.
But I'm more than happy. I mean, financially, without Robert knowing, it was much better off being an employee. Mentally and everything else, I wouldn't swap with the choice I made for the world, Dean. I wouldn't. I love what I do. despite everything else.
Tom McFeely, thank you so much for joining us tonight on Hide and Seek. It's been a great pleasure having you in here.
Yeah.
And thank you for sharing your love and life of the Peel Hotel.
Gentlemen, thank you. And I thank you for joy. And I look forward to expressing anything else you want me to express over the next several years.
Yeah, well, we could have talked for 16 hours.
Tom McFeely from the Peel Hotel joining us here on Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Sponsored by Manhouse. Manhouse.com.au.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.